I've asked Christiana to let me take the scripture reading this morning, because we're going to be focusing in, and I do hope that all of you have Bibles. If not, you have one in the pew. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7. And you're getting a handout. I love it when someone is actually willing to think about what they're reading. And so this morning I'm going to give you the opportunity to think about what we're reading. The half sheet here has got questions with the verses where the answers are located. Probably one of the most important end time parables that Jesus shared. And I just want to give you all the opportunity to actually think about what you're reading. I don't know how else to do it, so have mercy on me. We're so grateful for the Word of God. It's just so interesting. You know, we use information to think with. The students heard that this week. We think information. You never think without using information. But listen close. The truthfulness of the information that you are using to think with makes an incredible impact on your responses to life and life's circumstances, your responses to people, and most of all, your responses to God. We have a soon coming Savior, and we're told in Prophets and Kings 6:26, we're told, and the Bible makes this very clear, you'll be seeing in a moment, Christians should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. A what? An overwhelming surprise, and this preparation they should make in diligently studying God's Word, studying the Scripture, and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. James 1:22 tells us very clearly, it says, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." If I'm just a hearer, and quite often we do that in church, do we not? We come and we hear. Well, nothing wrong with that, as long as you're doing. But let me ask you a question. If you're not listening, how can you do what you're hearing? So that's the reason why you've got a handout. And we're going to go now to Matthew chapter 7 and contemplate this incredible parable. The parable of the two builders. Matthew chapter 7. We're starting at verse 21. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just strive with our hearts this morning. Encourage us to be a healthy builder. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him, unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. All right, you ready to write? Ready to look? All right, here we are. Here's the first question. What group of people is Jesus directly addressing, what speaking about in these verses? The answer is found in verse 21. What group of people is Jesus specifically targeting here? Verse 21, what do you see? Say it again. God's professed people. Notice what they're saying. Lord, Lord. Ah, all right. Very good. Verse number two. In these verses, what is the subject or the issue that Jesus is actually addressing? Again, look at verse 21. What specific issue is Jesus addressing? Who will enter, if you're filling in blanks? Number one, followers, Christ's professed followers. Number two, who will enter the kingdom of heaven? This is the issue that Jesus is addressing. Number three, why will anyone be lost? Verses 21, 23, what do you see there? Why will anyone be lost? Isn't that something? They didn't do the Father's will. Amazing to me. Number four, what is God's will? Look at verse 24. What is God's will? According to verse 24. Two blanks. Hearing and what? Doing. Wow. So far so good, right? Number five, with what does Jesus liken or compare hearing and doing his words? What does he liken it to? In verse 24, doing what? Building a house. Christ likens hearing and doing God's will to actually building a house. This is very interesting when you start looking at the Greek verbs here. Present tense, continual practice. Interesting. All right. So far, so good. Everybody's doing okay? All right. We're number six, right? What's the difference between the houses? The foundation. What the houses are built on. This is very important. We'll build on the rock. All right. Paul, you're doing really good. Number seven. What tests the strength of those houses? What actually tests the strength? Puts pressure on the foundation. A storm. Wind? By the way, what does wind represent in Bible prophecy? Yeah. Something else. Turn to Isaiah 64 once, just for a moment. Isaiah 64, 6, we always quote that. But notice what else wind represents. I think it might fit here. Isaiah chapter 64. I'm looking at verse 6. We always quote the first part of that. Everybody there? I'm going to do the same thing I did with the class this week. Say amen if you're not there. All right, verse 6. Notice what it says. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the what? Like the wind have taken us away. You mean wind can represent iniquity? Uh-huh. Yeah, this wind, you see, that hits the houses. If it represents iniquity, and the house we're living in is hit by it. Interesting. All right, let's go to the next one. Next question. By the way, is a storm good or bad? Good. Trick question. Okay, let's see if we can find an answer to that. We're looking at number 8. What two kinds of response does hearing Christ's word produce? According to verses 24 and 26, we're looking at the houses. Doing or not doing? The houses, hearing and doing, or hearing and not doing? Everybody following so far? This is big, knowing we're so close to Christ's return. Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to play here now a little bit. Number 9. When you build a house, what does a carpenter do when he builds a house? How many boards does he saw? Just one? Okay. How many boards does he nail? Yeah. If house building, doing or not doing God's word, obeying God or not obeying, I'm hearing, but I'm building a house. And just like a carpenter, that's nailing boards. Time after time after time, sawing and nailing and building. As human beings, what do we develop? What do we build by doing something over and over and over and over again? We develop habits. And according to the Bible definition of character, habits make up our character. Number 9. What do we produce by repeatedly thinking and feeling and saying or doing the same thing over and over again? Habits, which constitute or make up character. So far, so good? Okay. All right. We're going to number 10. These houses, this house illustration represents the character we build by our responses to Christ's word. Remember, hearing and doing, or hearing and not doing. Both of them are building a house of character. One is building on rock, Petra. and the other is building on sand, what would you rather build on? If I'm building on the rock, according to these verses, what's necessary for me to be doing? What am I doing with the Word of God? If I'm building a house of character on the rock, what am I doing with the Word of God? Obeying or not? I'm doing it. I'm obeying it. By faith-empowered grace that works by love. Ephesians 2:8, Galatians 5:6, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Faith that works by love. Love that is empowered by the grace of God. Other house built on sand is, what are they doing with the Word of God? Hearing, but not. Man, doesn't that sound like salvation by works? Oh, sure, yeah. Well, we're getting to it. Hold on. Fill in the blanks here, just a statement from Ellen G. White, of all people, from Christ Object Lessons. Fill in the blanks. Thus, actions repeated form habits, comma, habits form character, comma, and by the character, our destiny for time and for eternity is decided. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Have a look at this. You can write it in. This is just a bit of an extra. I'm veering off a little bit, but not too far. Revelation chapter 22, look at verses 11 and 12. Character. Notice what it says. Revelation chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. Aren't you glad that Jesus modeled house building for us? Yeah, the students heard this. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that... Anybody fill it in? Obey him. He was the model of house building, character building. Revelation chapter 22, look at verses 11 and 12. Notice what it says. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. If I'm still like something, how did I get that way? By practice. And in the Greek, present tense, it's talking about practice, continual practice. And notice what verse 12 says. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work. And if you're reading the King James, using the Greek that the King James was translated from, it says, shall be. Question. Question. Why does it say shall be? What determines what my work shall be in the future? What I've practiced in the past. Now this is very interesting. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 25. Do you see that little word founded? The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. In the Greek, there's six different tenses. This is in the pluperfect tense. Let me read you what that means. This is powerful. Founded. Pluperfect tense in the Greek. And it means an action completed prior. An action completed prior to some point in the past. Founded. Question. When the storm hit, what did the builders face the storm with? Question. That means something very interesting. When did they build the house? Before the storm hit. The house of character that we face the trials that are yet coming upon the world is the house we built before the storm hit. Now listen, I mentioned to someone I was going to share with you about the reticular activating system. I'm into brain science, so anyway, the reticular activating system is a system in your brain that it's a switching system that switches between your frontal lobe, your thinking, processing, choosing part of the brain, and the limbic system, which is the part that kicks in when you get into fight or flight or freeze when you're in trial. Now, what's so interesting about that thing is this. When a sudden trial hits a person, just takes you by surprise, you respond to the trial according to the habits you have formed before the trial hits. The reticular activating system switches off your thinking frontal lobe brain and actually turns on your limbic system. And you respond to the crises from the habits of response you have developed before the trial hit. Wow. Why do you suppose Army personnel go out and practice and practice and practice and practice? Why is it that medical personnel go through all kinds of training, years of training? Why do they suppose they practice? Why do nurses, I've seen pictures now, and they practice on plastic cadavers and stuff. How come? Because they are developing habits of response that will keep them when they're actually in the event. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, this is so important. In fact, I think that it actually has something to do with our salvation. All right. Man. What are we on, number 10? We're on number 11. Oh, yeah, Dan. How do I tell which builder I am? Because look at what it says there in Matthew chapter 21. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 23. Notice what he says. And he's talking about those who built in the sand. And notice what he says. He's talking to the people. Lord, Lord, I've prophesied in thy name. I've done wonderful works in thy name. I'm a follower of yours. I've done many things for you. And notice what Jesus says in verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. How do I know which house I'm building? Which house of character? Is everybody following so far? No questions? Okay. House of character. Those who are wise builders, building on the rock, the Petra, on Christ. They are hearing and they're doing the word of God. Those who built on the sand, house builders that are building on a shaky, sifting sands foundation, are hearing but not doing. But how do I know which one? I mean, because, you know, the scribes and Pharisees, they were obeying all the word of God. Outwardly, they were righteous. They were just righteous as could be. But they crucified the Savior. So just outward actions, just doing it. So how do I, just doing it, that there's something missing. Why did Jesus call those who were saying, Lord, Lord, I've done all this stuff in your name. Why was Jesus say, depart from me, you who work iniquity? Why did he do that? Here's the question. Who does Jesus know? Let's let the word of God tell us who God knows, and we'll have the answer. And boy, it is salvation that works. Whew! All right. Go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. Who does God know? How can I tell which builder I am? Galatians chapter 4, we're looking at verse 9. Oh, I love this. Letting God's word actually define who God knows. Galatians chapter 4, I'm reading now verse 9. Fill in your blanks. Galatians 4, verse 9, notice what it says. Everybody there? Say amen if you're not. Oh, I got one of them. All right. Yeah, have mercy. Okay, verse 9. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You notice who God knows? God knows those who know Him. Do you see that? John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. God knows those who know Him. Question. If I'm neglecting time in the Word of God to know Him, am I a healthy builder or am I a sand builder? I'm a sand builder. All right, let's go to the next one. Who does God know? Let's go to Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Way back in the Old Testament, where's Nahum? That's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Nahum 1:7. It's just a tiny little book. I had trouble finding these books. But there it is. Ah, my. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Notice what it says. Notice who God knows. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. God knows those who know Him. Galatians 4:9. Nahum 1:7. Notice what it says. I'm going to wait till everybody's there. This is one of my beefs. I don't know if I told the students this or not. This is one of my beefs. How many times have you been in a Sabbath school class and the Sabbath school teacher says, okay, go to Nahum 1:7? And he's already read it and stuff, and you're still scrambling trying to find Nahum. Please. Everybody there, Nahum 1:7, you find it? Okay, notice what it says. The Lord is good. Amen. A stronghold in what? Remember the storm that's hitting the houses. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows them that what? Trust Him. Wow. God knows those that know Him. God knows those who trust Him. And brothers and sisters, He's a stronghold when you're in the storm. One more. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. Here it is. Ah, my, my, my. Everybody there? Okay. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. Notice what it says. Who does God know? But if any man love God, the same is known of him. God knows those who know him. God knows those who trust him. God knows those who love him. Now let me, is this a salvation by works experience? If you know the Most High because you know Jesus and you love him and you trust him, what is going to be the fruits? What is going to be the most joyful thing for you to do? Obey or disobey? Do the Word of God or build a sandy house? Do the Word of God. Because you know him, and you love him, and you trust him. I want that kind of experience. How about you? What do these produce? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's what it produces. It's the fruit. Praise God. Amen? But that fruit is no good without a love affair with Christ. Because Jesus is the one who came to show us what God was really like. And the way you know God the Father is to study and contemplate the life of Christ. Does that make sense? And you kick in the law of beholding, by beholding we become changed. And it becomes a great delight to know him, to love him, to trust him, and obey him. I want that for my experience. How about you? I'm going to close with just a couple of beautiful promises. Go to Psalms chapter 23, verse 6. Remember the 23rd Psalm? Remember the house of character, building the house. Psalms chapter 23. Right there, look at the word. It's just so incredible to me. I love this. With the storm of trial that's to come on God's people yet, I just am so grateful for Psalms 23, the shepherd's psalm. They always do this at funerals. You see it in the funeral brochure all the time. Psalms 23. But catch this verse. Notice what it says there in Psalms chapter 23, verse 6. Surely goodness, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One more? Sure. Psalms 91. And we're done. Psalms chapter 91. I love this. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to have his character. I want to build with Jesus. Psalms 91. Boy, when you start looking at houses and you start looking at the word house in the Bible, it's amazing what you see when you think about the house of character. Mm-mm-mm. Psalms 91. We're looking at verses 9 and 10. Good place to stop. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy what? Your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, and there shall What does that say? Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about that? I want to build my house on the rock, on Jesus Christ. How about you? Should we sing again, we'll build on a rock? Let's do it. Lord bless you. The last one. Who can give us the last blank? 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. I didn't go there. Sorry about that. Thank you. We're going to sing our final song, but here's the words. Here's the text. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. And I'll quote it before we pray. The words are, Christ's character of love, the spiritual house of their salvation.